This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Tuesday. We are going to talk a couple things this hour. They're turning more criminals loose. Rents are coming down in the country in some areas. Something that's going to be a problem, I think, for the GOP, healthcare stuff, all that, emails, so much more coming up in the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. And I hope you are not saddened that we're all done with the Rhodesian Bush War. Just a heads up, I have no earthly idea what history thing I'm going to do next. I haven't even started researching something because I don't know. I'm going to wait till something piques my interest. So I guess we shall see. Now, let's talk about a potential problem. There is a healthcare argument going on right now in Capitol Hill. And I won't bore you with all the details on it, nor am I a healthcare expert, but I know a bit about a bit because I've been involved in this kind of thing for quite a while. The general idea is this. Obamacare. Obamacare was designed to fail. And a lot of people forget this, but every now and then when you catch a communist, maybe after one too many vodkas, they will forget to lie, and they'll be honest about it. So let's rewind a little bit. Barack Obama gets elected president, committed communist, only president we've ever had who actually hates the country, so on and so forth, goes tearing it apart as fast as he can. Every president knows this. Every president knows this, that you generally get one signature piece of legislation. You'll have other laws you pass, but you generally get one that's kind of your thing. The one he chose was Obamacare, was this insurance essentially takeover is basically what it was, where the government's going to guarantee insurance, so on and so forth. Now, this is honestly, it was a brilliant play by the communists, and here's why. Healthcare, even for the most confident, educated, committed anti-communist, healthcare is one of those issues that's difficult, or I should say can be difficult to discuss with people. Why? It's so personal and emotional. Have you ever been emotional about something or been in an argument with someone who's emotional about something? It can be hard to have a logical argument about something, just dealing with facts and truth, when someone is emotional about something. I'm the same way about the things I'm emotional about. It's hard to get me reasonable and rational. Healthcare, what do people think about when they think about healthcare? Well, you're probably thinking about it right now. My mom died of cancer. My dad is dying right now. Jesse, I have this debilitating illness. Jesse, I have medical bills piling up. I can't afford them. What do I do? Maybe you're older right now. Maybe you're on Social Security. Maybe you're on Medicare, not super wealthy. Maybe you sit around from time to time or all the time, and maybe you worry what's going to happen to you when and if you get sick and you start to fade. Are you just going to die? Are you going to be able to afford what you... It's so personal to people, to everybody, because everyone has a personal story about it, young and old. So it becomes so difficult to argue against the government stepping in. This is what was so brilliant about Obamacare. It was so brilliant. The government stepped in. They didn't step all the way in and take over every part of healthcare in the country. They stepped in just enough to screw up the insurance agency, which would guarantee that costs would go through the roof. If you want a chart or a graph that would make you sob in your hands, go look at what the average family of four was paying for health care premiums pre-Obamacare versus today. It's staggering. Did you know that when Ab and I were first married, one kid, maybe two kids, maybe Luke was a newborn, about $2,000 a year. You know that? I'm sorry to even bring it up because I know that probably hurts when you're thinking about what you pay now. I would venture to guess an individual, a young, healthy individual, couldn't get health insurance for $2,000 a year now. That was a family of four. And I mean, it wasn't gold-plated, but that was good insurance. You know, everything was covered, deductible, things like that. Now, the costs are through the roof. Well, Obamacare did that. Now, here's the problem. And there's a reason Democrats shut down the government, and they kind of made this healthcare stuff a central part of why they shut it down. Of course, they were lying, but they made it a central part of their messaging. Now we're facing a problem, you see. The Obamacare subsidies have run out. The communists, the Democrats, are demanding, well, you have to give us more of those. You have to extend those. We need a three-year extension on the Obamacare subsidies. The Republicans, shockingly, are saying, no, that's outrageous. We need different reforms. So the two sides are now going to argue, and we don't have to go into all the details of what they're going to argue about. The problem is this. Government things, certainly government entitlements of any kind, are more addictive than crack cocaine. And I wouldn't know because I haven't tried either, but I hear crack cocaine is quite addictive. Government entitlements are just as addictive. When people get them, they like them, they want more of them, and they will despise anyone who wants them to stop. The GOP, the low-T, idiotic GOP, now has to find a way to fight a messaging war with communists who are going to campaign on handing things out. The communists are going to campaign on the government should provide this and should provide that. And back to the story I started in the beginning, Barney Frank, this dork congressman from Massachusetts long ago, he actually said on camera long ago, I think Obamacare will lead to single payer. Single payer is, of course, government-run health insurance. Because the communists are always lying, that's how they message it. They call it single payer. Single payer means government payer. They want the government to completely take over the health industry in the United States of America. And Obamacare was the poison pill they always believed would help them do that. And now here we are. It's the end of 2025. We're going into a huge election year in 2026. And here's a headline. This is from the Daily Caller. 7 out of 10 Americans say the healthcare system has major issues. Now, everyone can argue about what those issues are, but when you have an industry that has essentially a 70% disapproval rating, that's going to be a hard sell if you're the GOP, isn't it? Especially when the communists are saying, hey, they suck. Doesn't your premium suck now? Isn't everything horrible now? Isn't the quality of your care worse now? Why don't you just let us take it over? You should just let us take it over. Let us take it over. What's the GOP plan? Freedom? Yeah, you want to give the health insurance companies more? You know how it's going to be messaged. Now, I am not saying we need to be more like them when it comes to giving things out and entitlements. I'm saying quite the opposite, actually. But I am saying we do have to be aware this is a potential problem coming for us. Because with costs of everything around us going through the roof, absolutely everything around us going through the roof, when families are now getting these insurance premiums, and this is the time of year, we just did it, me, Chris, and Corey just had to do it. This is the time of year where people are renewing their insurance and looking at health insurance. That's a little bit of sticker shock. Did you just go through this yourself? I did. A little sticker shocked. I had to go home and sit down with Ob and be all, hey, so this hurts a little bit. It hurts. And what are people doing now? they're cutting back on the amount of insurance they're getting just to try to save enough money to try to go month to month. Normal people are making decisions about their finances right now. They're budgeting right now for 2026. This is going to be a messaging war, and a very, very important messaging war. All right, let's do some emails before we get to rents coming down, subversive Hollywood, and so much more. But let's do this. You want to save some more money in 2026? Why don't you avoid the vet? How much was it the last time you had to take your dog to the vet? Did you enjoy that bill? Those costs are so expensive, there's now pet insurance. I know, my sister has it. Their dogs are always at the vet. You know a great way to avoid the doctor is to get nutrition. You know a great way to avoid the vet? Give your dog nutrition. I have argued forever that Rough Greens actually saves you money. It doesn't cost money. Because when you start sprinkling it on your dog's food, it's America's number one dog supplement. Your dog will finally get nutrition. Live vitamins, live nutrients, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, omega oils. Your dog food is dead. There's no nutrition in it. That's why it's brown. Go to roughgreens.com, use the promo code Jesse, and watch your dog food come alive. Watch your dog come alive. You'll know they're getting healthier. You'll be able to tell just by their coat. Roughgreens.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And reminding you of this, we have locked in our guest for tomorrow. A veteran of the Rhodesian Bush War is going to join us on the Jesse Kelly Show. He's not one of these media hound type guys, just a salty old vet. Ask him some questions, let him talk. I think his perspective might be wonderful, right? It's going to be fascinating no matter what. It's been awesome. Now, before we get to this dirtball police chief in Minneapolis, let's do a couple emails. Hey, Jesse, Christmas or too many Christmas decorations at the Kelly house? So every time you look around at home, every wall, doorway, window, corner, and kitchen chair is decorated to remind you of the birth of Jesus? And this bothers you? Have you been working with Jewish producer Chris for too long? Anyway, all right. So let's talk, shall we? In fact, we'll make this about Christmas music, if you will. I love Christmas music. Do you know that? Don't shake your head, Chris. You have no say in this. This is about... I know it's the same songs, Chris. They're wonderful songs. Shut up. Anyway, I love Christmas music. I'm a huge fan. When do you start listening to Christmas music? When should you? Let me tell you what I believe about when you should start listening to Christmas music. December 1st. If you ask Ob, I'm almost positive, actually, now that I think about it, I am positive. Christmas music started in our house in October. Before Halloween, there was Christmas music in our house. You know part of what makes Christmas music so wonderful? There's a small window. It's that it's rare. It's that it's just a short time of year you get to experience Christmas music. I'll tell you something else. I'll give you another little pointer. I tell this to my sons when I'm trying to teach them how to have conversations, how to have a discussion with people to and fro, and just how to have a conversation, business conversations, personal conversations. I tell them, always leave them wanting more, son. Don't be the guy that stays too long. Be the guy that leaves too early. Don't be the guy that says too much. Be the guy that they wanted a little more from. When you leave, have them saying, oh, man, that dude's cool. I wish, man, that sucks he had to go. That, you know what? Can't wait to get him here next time. Don't ever be the guy who opens up his mouth and everyone goes, oh, gosh, he's still going. You never want to be that guy. Wonderful things oftentimes are wonderful in part because they're limited. It's not that I have any desire to stop any kind of celebration about the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, okay? It's not that. If every square inch of the house and the yard becomes Christmas, if every song on the radio becomes Christmas, then Christmas Day is not as special. What, Chris? You know what? That's actually a very good point. Chris said hymns are different than Christmas music. Of course they are. They're different than Christmas music. And I realize people listen to Christian music throughout the week. I have Christian music on my phone. I'll listen to it occasionally throughout the week. Part of what makes it wonderful, I should probably listen to it more, by the way, but part of what makes it wonderful is it's on Sunday when you walk into worship. It's the scarcity of it is what makes it great. Eating out at a restaurant. Isn't it wonderful because it's rare? It's so expensive now. I'll tell you what, this Friday, Aub and my youngest Luke, they have plans. They have to go do this mother-son thing that they always do. It's a tradition for them. James and me, we linked up this morning and he said, hey, Mom and Luke are gone. Should we go out to eat? We don't go out to eat often. Should we go out to eat on Friday? And his face lights up. Yeah. And of course, I asked him, where should we go? And you know exactly what he said on my life. He said, should we go to Red Lobster? And I said, yes, we should go to Red Lobster. That's special because it's rare. If we went to Red Lobster every single night, or even if we went to Red Lobster once a week, then it wouldn't be special anymore. It's special because when they, this Friday, I think it'll probably be a lunch thing, when they, this Friday, set down that basket of heavenly warm Cheddar Bay biscuits, and I take that shrimp scampi butter, and I peel off a little piece of biscuit, and I stir it up with the shrimp cans. Don't shake your head, Chris. And I stir it up with the shrimp scampi butter and pop it in my mouth. I think it's been a month since I've eaten at Red Lobster, if not more. It's special to me. Chris, by the way, I know you've got a shellfish thing. Can you deal with the shrimp scampi butter? Does that be... No? Why not? There's no shrimp in it anymore. It's made with shrimp. Can't you bless it or something? Or do something to it? There's no way to extract it. There's no Jewish extraction method? I would have thought you people came up with something by now. Can't burn it or something? What? I can ask questions. By the way, let me ask you a real quick question. In all seriousness, are you America first? Is that your thing, America first? If you are, I'm glad. What's your cell phone company? Who is your cell phone company? You know that Pure Talk is the cell phone company that hires Americans, and when they give back to support veterans. That's what Pure Talk does. Because of your generosity, they've been able to donate over $500,000 this year to America's Warrior Partnership. When you pick up your phone and you dial #250 and you say Jesse Kelly, you'll talk to an American. And it almost sounds like they're smiling on the other end of the line, almost pleasant. Dial #250, say Jesse Kelly, spend 10 minutes on the phone with an American and switch your cell phone service. You'll save money, you'll support the patriotic cell phone company, you'll feel better about yourself, and an extra grand in your pocket, that's what the average family of four saves, an extra grand in your pocket, that's not too shabby either. #250, say Jesse Kelly. All right, this idiot police chief in emails, next.
Fighting for your freedom every day. USA! USA! The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, you can download it, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So remember at the end of last hour when we were talking Rhodesian Bush War And we started talking about Robert Mugabe and how he essentially just took over everything, the cops, the military, and then they only did his bidding. They punished his enemies. They rewarded his friends. Remember how we've been talking about what's happening in America, in the areas of America that are communist-controlled, from the FBI to Chicago, to the, you name it, the communists, including the cops, the police chiefs, the communists protect the communists, and they punish everybody else. This is how it works. I want to introduce you to somebody. This is the police chief of Minneapolis, Minnesota. This is in response to ICE picking up illegals in Minneapolis. Here he was.
It's especially personal to me, having been raised a Catholic, to be in a Christian church this morning as we are approaching Christmas. And I cannot help but think of what is happening in our city today and how that echoes with how outsiders have been treated for thousands of years, how Mary and Joseph themselves were considered outsiders and forced to stay in a barn. That's what we're getting ready to commemorate as Christians around the world, while all of this fear...
Yeah, we got it. I wanted to remind you again, and this is for old listeners and new listeners. Never, ever let the communist use your values against you. It's one of his most effective tools. Do you remember the Bible? Sorry, Chris, it was New Testament. Do you remember when the devil started tempting Jesus when he was spending his time in the wilderness? Remember what the devil did? Started quoting scripture to Jesus. Never let the communist use your values against you. He does not share them. He has nothing but disdain for you. He has nothing but disdain for your values. He has nothing but disdain for your religious beliefs, by the way. He views your religion as a competing religion to his. He has nothing but disdain for your values. But because he himself is without morals and without values, it gives him complete freedom to use your values against you because he doesn't care about lying. He wants to lie. He's trying to lie. They have used this against the Christian church and the Jews, Chris, in this country for years and years and years and years and years. Is that what the Bible said? Is that what would Jesus do? They were refugees, which of course is all completely inaccurate. This all of Jesus's travels, remember, Mary and Joseph's travels, they were all in the Roman Empire. They essentially never left the country. You had to go register places for the census. They were never illegal. That's not how that worked at all. That Rome controlled all that. But setting that aside, those facts don't matter to him, so don't bother correcting him with those facts. He didn't bring it up because it's accurate. He brought it up because it's designed. Yes, killed that fly. There had been a fly landing on me the whole show, and I just nuked him on camera. What, Chris? What? What? That was one slap, too. Everybody heard it. Tell me that came across. Chris, did it come across? Everyone could hear it? Are you upset? Oh, I can't do anything, Chris. It's where the fly landed. Anyway, they've been doing this on the Christians in this country forever, quoting scripture to you. Is that what Jesus would want? Jesus would want all the Muslims to come into Minneapolis to have the Muslim call to prayer five times a day. That's what Jesus would want. And there are a bunch of fruity, effeminate pastors in this country who go along with that garbage, too. Reject it. Hey, Jesse, the Bill of Rights was wrong when it put freedom of religion and speech in the same place. Religion is more cultural than theology, and Muslim culture is organized, strategic, and loyal in their cause. You can argue. You're welcome to argue that the founders screwed up this or screwed up that. We can always question people. Nobody's perfect, including the founders of this country. But let me ask you something. Did your parents, if you're older, let's say you're my age, 44, did your parents, when you were growing up, ever warn you about the dangers of social media? Oh, they didn't? Why? Because your parents, when they were raising you, couldn't even fathom that there would one day be a device that fits in the palm of your hand that doesn't just make phone calls. It can connect you via app to anyone on the planet. Asking your parents to see that in the future so they could have prepared you would have been, that's an impossible ask. The founders never dreamed that future Americans would flood the country with foreigners, including all people from all different cultures all over the place. If you told the founders there would be multiple parts of America that had the Muslim call to prayer five times a day, they would have looked at you like you had three heads. They could never even fathom that at all. You had to be a professed Christian to serve in any of the original 13 colony governments. You had to be. Do you realize that? They weren't passive about it at all. In fact, they encouraged the individual states to start churches. They had different denominations, right? There were all kinds of different denominations. That's what they meant by freedom of religion. They didn't want the Catholics smacking around the Quakers or the Quakers smacking around the Puritans. No. You worship however you want that way. They would never have signed on for this. And they probably couldn't fathom American politicians being so evil. They openly campaigned to import these people en masse. Speaking of evil, listen to John Bolton talking about Ukraine.
So I think Ukraine needs to do more to show the fight against corruption continues. You can probably have local elections in places where the Russians aren't occupying. And I think this is advice from a friend. I think they need to lower their draft age from 25 to 18 to get more manpower on the battlefield and to make sure that the country as a whole is bearing the burden of this war equally.
Do these people even hear themselves? Do they even hear themselves? Hey, we've already butchered all the 25-year-old Ukrainians we can find. Let's get the 18-year-olds out there too. And these people think they're the good guy when they go on TV and say these kinds of things. And these are the people, that was John Bolton, by the way. These are the people who've been running America's foreign policy for 20 to 30 years, if not longer. They don't even hear themselves. If a Ukrainian man wants to go off and fight the Russians, fight for his country, I think that's honorable and I think that's wonderful. For an American to sit thousands of miles away and tell the Ukrainians they should go start kicking in doors and dragging 18-year-olds to the front line to be incinerated by a Russian drone, man alive. I'm not a good person. I fully admit that. I ain't that. You know what? It gives me some comfort to know I'm actually not the worst person on the planet. All right, let's talk about rents going down. We'll talk about subversive Hollywood, opening up the jails. There's a lot to cram into the final segment. Next.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of The Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Tuesday. You can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Cost of housing is bad. I know that. Scott Bessent went on the news. He said this.
The mass unfettered immigration, they have pushed up rents, especially for working Americans. There's a recent study out from Wharton School that shows every 1% increase in population, rents went up 1%.
Wow.
So President Trump, by the enforcing the border, sending home more than 2 million illegals, we're now seeing D and C rents coming down substantially. I think that will continue for the rest of the year.
Maybe you're sitting there saying, but my rent hasn't come down. Well, where do you live? In order for rents to come down where you are, illegals have to be removed from where you are. Here's a headline from The Blaze. Rents will come down, but not in sanctuary cities. Loan agent chronicles homes apparently abandoned by illegal aliens. Time and time again, I'm going to keep bringing this up. It comes up with gas prices. It comes up with everything. Time and time again, we run into this exact same story. Your life in a blue area is not only more expensive now, that disparity between blue areas and red areas is only going to get greater and greater and greater and greater. The difference is going to increase because remember, they don't have any limiting principles now. There's nothing that's too far. Have you heard about this? Have you heard about this California wealth tax? And I say that fully understanding you're probably not a California millionaire. California looks like it's going to be a go. A one-time 5% wealth tax on super wealthy people. Of course, all this stuff is going to get passed down, and people stuck in these communist-controlled areas are going to have their standard of living drop much more rapidly than people in red areas because there's nothing holding the communists back. Every new tax is approved, every new fee, every new regulation. There's nothing holding these people back. They have no limits. Speaking of no limits, Tim Walz, governor of Minnesota, he's out there saying things like this after all these shootings.
And I don't want to hear, how do you define assault weapon? I sure can assign what it is and describe what it is and tell you what it does. And unfortunately, we have a whole bunch of parents now who know a lot more about what these weapons were meant to do. Not meant to shoot deer. They're not meant to plink whoever a Republican senator said he likes to plink, and how dare we take away his plinking.
He's actually right about that last part. The weapons they had when they founded this country, they didn't put that Second Amendment in there so those guys could go shoot deer. They didn't put that Second Amendment in there so those guys could shoot robbers, even. They didn't put that Second Amendment in there so you could go have fun practicing at the range. The founding fathers put that Second Amendment in there. And look, they wrote about it. Go read it. They put the Second Amendment in there because they knew one day America would have politicians who wanted to disarm you so they could hurt you, and that's what the Second Amendment was for. Not that we were ever going to have anyone like that.
We had time. We should have been doing this, but this is a run out the clock. This is the oldest strategy in the world. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if we can define what an assault weapon is. I don't know. Do you really think limiting them to less than 100 bullets is going to do anything? Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is going to save lives, just like the extreme risk protection orders, which I can pull quotes from many of these folks who said, this will do nothing. This will not protect lives. This will take away our freedoms. It's time to start reporting that that is all bullshit.
Less than 100 rounds? 100 rounds? That's not even a decent range day. Less than 100 rounds? Is that the number you're going with? Woo! All right. They say things like this.
Why not? Why aren't we going to fix it? They're trying to do something about it in Australia again. On the issue of guns, it only took hours after two gunmen opened fire on and killed Jews celebrating Hanukkah at the beach for Prime Minister Anthony Albanese to promise reforms. Politicians there quickly realizing that the strict gun laws the country enacted after a mass murder back in 1996 needed updating. So why aren't we addressing anything here? Why not here?
Would you look at that? The only lesson the communists learned after the mass shooting was he hasn't gone far enough. That seems to be the only lesson they ever learn. He hasn't gone far enough. All right, let's do it.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Woman who joked about putting toilet cleaner in feces in food of white MAGA family identified as the daughter of a Virginia delegate. They are getting more and more terrorist-like every single day, and that really probably spells a lot of trouble for us. New York Times now admits these conspiracy theories are true. Yes, virtually every conspiracy theory I've heard over the past few years has turned out to be the truth. Well, the media told you you were an idiot and a psycho for believing it. Conservative landslide in Chile. Jose Antonio Kast wins the presidential race. Apparently, he's also a big fan of Augusto Pinochet. It sounds like things might get pretty good down there. JetBlue pilot reports near collision with military aircraft near Venezuela. Probably would be a good time to stop flying civilian airliners down around Venezuela right about now. Trump sues the BBC for $11 billion, accusing it of defamation. Yes, they are liars. And this is one of the great things that's come out of the Trump era. Being more litigious, Chris. What? EU walks back to 2035 combustion engine ban to boost the car industry. Europe prefers to die slowly, not all at once. DNI bombshell report. Joe Biden welcomed 18,000 known or suspected terrorists to the U.S. I'll tell you what Senator Tommy Tuberville told me today that kind of woke me up and brought this home. Joe Biden brought in 18,000 terrorists into the country. In the year 2026, we're going to have our 250th birthday celebration going on across the country. We're going to have the Olympics in the country, and we're going to have the World Cup in the country. 2026 might be a really, really, really tough year. Let's hope law enforcement is rounding these people up. Ugh. National Guardsmen shot in D.C. ambush. Making extraordinary progress, according to the doctor. Please keep praying for this young man. Please keep praying for his family. We are going to join you tomorrow with more of this stuff and a veteran of the Rhodesian Bush War. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.